This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
Part of the story of Good Guide has been this big scientific research project. What matters scientifically in assessing a product and its supply chain? The other part of Good Guide, quite frankly, is trying to understand what matters most to consumers. What information, in what form, at what moment in their decision making will actually help them make a better decision? And by better, I mean both scientifically better, but also that it better matches their values.
Does this scene sound familiar? You're at the store looking for a good shampoo. Your eyes move to one with organic right in the name. But you turn the bottle around to find a list of 40 ingredients, 90% of which appear to be inorganic chemical compounds. Next, you pick up something with natural botanical in the name and encounter the same problem. While their names appeal to an ecologically mindful consumer, these so-called natural personal care products are full of bad stuff like chemical fragrance, methylparaben, and triclosan. Imagine how nice it would be if you could just scan the product yourself, right in the aisle, and know which products were greenwashed and which were healthy for people and for the environment. Even better, wouldn't you love to know the practices of the companies? Are they fair to their workers? Do they give back to their local communities? Well, my guest today on Sea Change Radio has created just such a guide. And it's not just going to save you time in the shampoo aisle. Good Guide is a web-based index that scores products from food and beverage to apparel and appliances on their health, environmental, and societal impacts, allowing consumers to be truly informed. Good Guide also has a mobile app, so you can literally scan the barcode of the product that interests you, see how it rates, and be directed to products in that category with the highest ratings. This week on Sea Change Radio, Dara O'Rourke, co-founder and chief sustainability officer of Good Guide. My guest today is Dara O'Rourke. He's the founder and chief sustainability officer for The Good Guide. He's also an associate professor at UC Berkeley in their Department of Environmental Science, Policy, and Management. Dara, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thank you very much.
First, tell us, what is The Good Guide and what was the inspiration behind it?
So Good Guide is a website and a set of mobile tools that are seeking to empower consumers with better information than they've ever had before on the products and companies that they buy every day. So Good Guide has a team of scientists and engineers that have rated over 120,000 products that you would find in a grocery store or a drugstore or a big box store. We've rated food products, personal care products, your baby shampoo, your deodorant, your toothpaste, household chemicals, paper products, cell phones, a whole range of products that people consume every day. And we rate them for their environmental impact, their health impact, and their social impact. We try to understand what matters most environmentally, where are the big environmental impacts up and down the supply chain for the product and the company behind the product, the supply chain that produced the product. Then we look at the health impacts of using the product on a consumer. What are the chemicals in that product that potentially could be harmful or hazardous to your family? What are the positive nutrients in that product if you're eating it? And then we look at the social impacts behind the company. How do they treat their workers, the communities they operate in, their customers? And so Good Guide's team evaluates this comprehensive look at environmental, social, and health impacts of products and companies. And then we turn that all into a simple rating, a 0 through 10 score, with 10 being the best, 0 the worst, to show people really quickly which products are actually better for them, for their health, and for the environment. So that's the first step, is this scientific rating process. The second part is we let people filter all this data through their personal preferences. So we've built this massive database, over 120,000 products. We pull data from over 1,000 different data sources around the world. But ultimately, we want to help people find products that are better for them or that better match their values, their concerns, their ethics. So you can go on goodguide.com, or you can download our iPhone or Android app, or you can use our transparency toolbar when you're shopping on amazon.com, and you can tell us what matters to you. So you can set up the Dara filter, which is, I'm concerned about toxic chemicals and climate change and labor rights. You could create an Alex filter, which is totally different. You're concerned about animal rights and animal testing and organic and fair trade. And each person can screen the data through what matters most to them to find products that match their values. And what we're trying to do is take all that science and all this research and get it to consumers right at the moment when they're making a decision. So while you're standing in the aisles at your local store, we want it on your cell phone. And you can point your phone at a barcode and under a second, get this information on health, environmental, social performance, and whether it passes or fails your filters. Or whether you're on Amazon.com or Target.com or diapers.com, instantly find out which products meet your screens and which products don't. So Good Guide, basically, it's a very big research project that is now pushing further and further to get this information out to the public right when they're making decisions.
What is your model in terms of revenue?
Yeah, so we started at UC Berkeley as a research project with a team of researchers across campus. And about 3 years ago, we spun it off campus into a for-benefit company. So we are registered in this kind of new structure. I don't know if you've heard of B Corporations, but we were one of the early, probably the first startup to be a for-benefit company. And so we're operating like a Silicon Valley startup but with a social and educational environmental mission to try to get this information out to the public and to help them make better decisions. So we give away this information for free to the public. So you can go on goodguide.com or download our apps, are all free. Get this information free as an individual consumer. No subscriptions, no advertisements. It's basically free information for consumers. The way we generate revenue is actually on the back end of our system is that we now license out the same data to some institutional purchasers. So some cities, some states, some universities that buy a lot of stuff can also use our data and create their own filters. So instead of the Alex filter, it might be the city of San Francisco's filter, and they can screen procurement through their filter and find products that match their organizational values.
So looking at your app here, which is very, very cool, and if anybody who has an iPhone, I'd recommend they give it a whirl. It's free, and you never know what you're going to learn. Walk me through. Let's I'm looking at personal care, household cleaners, food, pet food, paper products, cars, cell phones, appliances, any of those, or apparel. Pick one, and then we'll go through it and try to create a roadmap of a product and how a consumer then could make an informed buying decision on that.
Okay, so maybe almost everyone buys toothpaste or shampoo.
Speak for yourself.
Okay, not all my students.
Okay, right at the top, oral care. So then we got toothpaste.
So here's what we're going to do. So our scientists look at a category like toothpaste and we say, let's first evaluate what a generic tube of toothpaste, what the potential impacts are of that. So the first thing is, this is something you actually put in your mouth. You're going to ingest a part of whatever goes in your mouth. You swirl it around your mouth for 30 to 60 seconds or whatever, and you're going to swallow some of it. So the first question is the health impact. So we're going to evaluate every chemical that is in your toothpaste for potential human health hazards. So we have a process where we pull out the chemical ingredients from this product, and we screen them against about 60 or 70 international hazard lists. So are any of the ingredients in your toothpaste carcinogens, mutagens, reproductive health hazards, endocrine disruptors, skin irritants, neurotoxins, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to do a screening of those chemical ingredients. To first say, what are the potential human health hazards related to use of the product for the consumer? The second thing we're going to do is look at the environmental impacts of the manufacture and use and disposal of that tube of toothpaste. Very simple product. It's basically a chemical formulation in a plastic or aluminum tube.
With calcium carbonate in it or something.
Right. One of the ingredients may be calcium carbonate, but we also find in lots of toothpaste artificial colors, artificial sweeteners, saccharin shows up in a lot of toothpaste. Some chemicals of concern we'll see, and so you can then look at the toothpaste and look up your favorite toothpaste. I recently looked at a toothpaste that had triclosan in it. Triclosan,
I love,
is antimicrobial. Yeah, great, really great tasting addition. It is an antimicrobial agent, which was being put in and marketed as this is something that will kill all the germs in your mouth. Well, that may or may not be true. It actually turns out it's not that effective at killing germs on your hands or on your mouth, but there's this craze with the last couple winters of concern about viruses and bird flu and H1B that people started putting Purell everywhere and putting triclosan and everything and antimicrobials started showing up on our toothpaste. Triclosan, it turns out, also is a potential ecotoxin and a potential human health hazard. So that's a chemical that would show up in common toothpaste on the store shelves that has been banned in Europe, banned in many other countries around the world, but still shows up in our consumer products. So we would then ding that product for the presence of that. It both has an environmental impact from the release of the triclosan when it goes down your drain and out into the aquatic ecosystem, and a potential human health hazard. So we'll evaluate that, the environmental impacts of the toothpaste, the environmental impacts of the packaging of the toothpaste. We'll then evaluate the social impacts of the company that produced the toothpaste. So we're looking at treatment of workers in the supply chain. We're looking at, are there women and minorities in senior management position? We're looking at the philanthropy of the company, their record on OSHA violations, on lawsuits against the company for consumer product safety or for recalls. We're doing a comprehensive sweep of anything that a consumer might be concerned about related to the product. So we do the health analysis, the environmental / sustainability analysis, and a social impact analysis of the product and the company. And ultimately, again, what we want to do is help people find products that match their values. So there are some attributes like animal testing, which are not incorporated into our rating, but we track that information. So if you're morally opposed to animal testing, you can filter our data. Don't show me a toothpaste that was tested on animals.
Could I do a keyword search for triclosan and see if there are any products that you rate that contain it? Or
yeah, we have on the web, it works really well where you can look at products that contain it and products that don't contain it. And so you could find products to avoid if you're concerned about it, or find products that are contain it if it was a good nutrient or a good ingredient that you liked.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. My guest is Dara O'Rourke. He's the founder and chief sustainability officer for Good Guide. People can go to goodguide.com to learn more. Dara, does your guide take into account, or do you have plans to put price and value and favorability ratings in terms of the value of the product rather than pure sustainability, economic, and social justice issues?
Yep, that's a great question. So we've started off basically with a team of scientists that rate these products for sustainability, health, social attributes, and no kind of crowdsourced voting like an ePinions or a Yelp or a Zagat that is basically people just saying whether they like it or not. We've done some testing on that, and it turns out that it's very hard to get the broader community to vote on technical issues, like whether or not triclosan is a endocrine disruptor or not. That's not something that makes sense to have the community vote on. It really is a scientific question.
And that community apparently has been corrupted a little bit as with the proliferation of more and more of, I forget where I read it, but a piece on hotels.com would be like pushing for, it wouldn't necessarily be the problem of hotels.com, but a hotel on their site may abuse it and give discounts to people who give a positive rating,
right,
et cetera.
Right. So we start off with the science, but to your point, consumers care about quality, efficacy, and price. They want to know that the product works and that people like them like it, and it tasted good, or it smelled nice, or it made their hair look nice, or whatever.
Right. So if like this 8.8 toothpaste, if it tastes like liver, people may not be that into it, except my dog would like it.
Right. And that's actually, one of the stories of green consumption and of the green products industry here in the U.S. has been the rub since the 1970s has been these greener products cost more and work less well. So they may be greener, but they're too expensive and they don't really work. And particularly things like green cleaners, that's been the critique. It's like, I'm going to pay more and it works less well. So consumers aren't going to switch if the products don't work well and cost too much. So we actually now are adding in price and quality into the transparency toolbar, into a new product that we're just launching called the Personal Shopper that does a kind of shopping analyzer for you. Because we know consumers want to know, this is safe and healthy, it's at a point I'm willing to pay, and it works, or people like me like it. And so we're now bringing in reviews from around the web where people can see what other people have said. This is 4-star or 3-star or 2-star kind of product. And we're bringing in price information. But the real kind of strength we have at Good Guide is on the science side. We have on staff chemists, toxicologists, environmental life cycle assessment experts, a nutritionist, sociologists that are doing this analysis. That's really our kind of core competency and what we're bringing the most new information to consumers from. But we've found over the last 2 years that that information alone is not enough to move most consumers, that they need to know, here's a great product, people like me like it, it's at a good price, and it's safe and healthy, and it's sustainable. So sustainability, health, these are attributes that matter to consumers, and a growing percentage of consumers care, but it's rare that just information on the environmental impacts will change a mainstream consumer to switch between products. Now, you asked a question earlier about scale, and we've seen actually, even with very modest numbers in the US market of consumers who care about sustainability or health or nutrition, we've seen massive growth from a small base, but massive growth in more ethical, greener consumption. So we see organics and fair trade growing 10% per year, in the past 20% per year, while conventional food is flat. And even in the downturn of the economy, we're seeing continued growth in things like fair trade, organic, green cleaners, non-toxic products, more natural products, and really rapid introduction of these products. So you don't need 50% of the market to care to have the market respond, right? Brands are fighting over small percentages, and they are really now seeing fast introduction of more and more greener, healthier, more sustainable products. So, I mean, the obvious famous ones continue to do very well. Whole Foods went from, you know, 90 million to billions of dollars in sales over the last 10 years. The Prius has gone from a few thousand cars to hundreds of thousands of cars.
But still, they pale in comparison to the...
That's right. They're still small percentages. But they're, you know, even at those small percentages, we're seeing movement in the market. And the mainstream shopper in the U.S. is increasingly concerned about finding safe and healthy products. And this has been really driven, unfortunately, by scandal after scandal in the marketplace, where we're seeing, you know, melamine in pet food killing animals, or bisphenol A in baby bottles, or E. coli and salmonella in your food supply, or lead in your toys, or whatever. But literally once a month we're seeing scandals in products where consumers are saying, okay, I need to know where this thing came from, and how is it made, and what's in it, and is it safe and healthy? From that core of mainstream consumers concerned about safe and healthy products, we're seeing an interesting long tail of consumers that are interested in climate change and animal rights and labor rights, and in different, each category we rate, we see different issues of concern which really emerge, where there's a percentage of the population that really cares and wants to buy better products.
When I became of age, my mother called me to her side. She said, "Son, you're growing up now. Pretty soon you'll take a bride." And then she said, "Just because you've become a young man now, it's still some things that you don't understand now. Before you ask some girl for a hand down, keep your freedom for as long as you can now. My mama told me, you better shop around. Oh yeah, you better shop around.
Shop around. Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/seachangeradio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking with the founder and chief sustainability officer of Good Guide, Dara O'Rourke. Dara, such an enormous swath your company's trying to cover in terms of analyzing different products. And what are some of the hotspots that our listeners should look for?
Yeah, so unfortunately, in every single category we've gone into, we've faced not nearly as much information and not enough transparency into the key issues that matter most in the category. So we're really scratching our heads on electronics right now. We really want to rate, say, TVs. A lot of people are switching out their TV. They're switching to a flat screen TV or they're switching to a bigger TV. And there's basically no information for a consumer to know what really are the environmental impacts of this TV and what happened in the supply chain. These TVs are increasingly produced across long global supply chains. Likely the electronics emerged out of China. The screen may have emerged out of China or somewhere else in Asia. What's in it? What are the environmental impacts? What are the health impacts? Were the workers treated fairly? What really is behind this thing? So from the most basic information on how does someone choose, should they choose, if they care about the environment, should they choose an LCD or an LED or a plasma? Basically, consumers don't know. They're in the dark ages. They go in and they're looking at brand and price, and they know almost nothing about the environmental impact. So we see that in almost every category.
And most of the salespeople who are helping them don't know about it.
They know nothing about it either, right? They have no information. And so we're saying, how do we go and get data that now is going to have to go down into factories in China, where places where there's no visibility, right? You know the brand name on the front of the product, but you don't really know who produced it. So, you know, the recent example, we rated cell phones this year, and a new iPhone was released last night, the iPhone 4S. But many, many people for months and months and months were debating and guessing the specifications of this phone, right? There were what's going to be the megapixels on the camera and the memory and the processor. They knew almost everything about the technical details of this phone and nothing about actually the story behind the phone. Where was it made? Well, it turns out we're now understanding Foxconn, the largest electronics manufacturer in the world, actually manufactures the iPhone. The screens may come from WinTech, another firm in China that's producing the beautiful glass screens. And then other pieces are coming from these other complex supply chain. And in that supply chain, it goes all the way back to chemicals and metals like tantalum, tin, coltan coming from Africa, where there is literally a civil war going on and people dying over access to these metals, getting them out of the ground and selling them and making money. So in your cell phone, you've got all the way from minerals in Africa to labor rights abuses in Asia to suicides in Foxconn, 17 suicides in the Foxconn factories over the last several years, 12 in 1 year alone in the factories producing the iPhone, where and consumers really don't know. And there's almost no way for consumers to know, even if they care a lot about the environment or labor rights or even their health on the cell phone again. What's the radiation coming off from your phone? There's a wide variation in the amount of radiation that comes off of cell phones. Which one is a low radiation phone versus a high radiation phone? San Francisco was the first city in the country to pass a regulation that cell phone manufacturers have to actually tell their customers that. The industry fought back. It's not going to be as transparent as they hoped, but there's really on almost any dimension for which consumers care, it's when you start to look at it, it's almost like we're in the dark ages. We go into stores today and we know almost nothing about the products we're going to put in, on, and around our bodies and our families and our children. We don't really know the health impacts of these products. We don't really know the environmental and social health impacts. So this is something as we go category by category, it's really amazing how little we know and where the big gaps in our knowledge are. And so it's a big project for us to go, okay, let's go try to dig out and find data that would allow us to evaluate these products and the relative performance of these products. So we want to compare cell phones to cell phones and t-shirts to t-shirts and shampoos to shampoos.
So what are some of the most challenging categories for you to find out information beyond in terms of smoke screens and real pushback from the industry?
Yeah, so on food is a really interesting one where, you know, it's been amazing as we've done this project that how little information is available to U.S. consumers on their food products. So until about a year ago, we didn't even have country of origin labeling laws applied to fresh foods and meats in the U.S. So you couldn't even find out where your meat came from or where your seafood came from or where your vegetables came from. And after 10 years of lobbying, we finally are starting to get just that basic information on this meat came from, and you'll see it if you go into a store and you look at some ground beef, you'll say, this ground beef came from US, Mexico, and Australia. And see, because it's a mix of meat from around the world, or this seafood came from Vietnam, or this. So we're starting to get it. Still a number of loopholes in that, not full. But the most basic information we can't get, canned foods. We now know that bisphenol A is a chemical of concern for human health impacts, particularly for reproductive health and for childhood development and endocrine disruption. That's in the liners of most canned foods in the U.S. We know it. We know it shows up in 93% of the U.S. has it in their bodies from biomonitoring, from blood testing. We know it's ubiquitous. It's in all of our bodies, and it's coming from either bisphenol A in bottles, like Nalgene bottles, baby bottles, water bottles, or it's coming from our canned food. That's something that we have no visibility into. There's no requirement that the industry discloses it. So we literally, at Good Guide, can't rate canned food on this issue because no one has to tell us if they've got it or not. Now, right now, basically we assume they have it because almost everyone has it. And there's only a handful of firms that have proactively taken it out of their canned food liners. It's the kind of plastic liner on the inside of your canned food. And so Muir Glen took it out of their tomatoes. An organic tomato company took it out. So there's a handful. But in general, we just can't even get the data on it, and there's no requirement. And industry has been able to lobby to block transparency laws that would require them to disclose these things. Across the board, in category after category, we see industry has been very effective in lobbying to block disclosure rules. So household chemicals. Basically, there's no requirement for household chemical companies, the companies that produce our cleaning products, to disclose the ingredients in those products. So this is a kind of a goofy comparison, but if something is a personal care product, so if you go home tonight, look on the top of your sink in your bathroom, you have a liquid hand soap, that's a personal care product. Flip it over, you'll see 30 ingredients with their chemical names on it. Now look under your sink, your tub and tile cleaner, your floor cleaner, your toilet bowl cleaner, your oven cleaner, much, much harsher chemicals, they will have no ingredients listed because there is a loophole in U.S. disclosure law where household chemicals don't have to disclose, personal care products do, regulated by different agencies under different laws. So the only thing you'll see on a household chemical is ingredients over a certain concentration that have specific acute or chronic health effects. So you'll see one ingredient listed sometimes, or zero ingredient, with a health warning, don't ingest this. Yeah. This is whatever. We wanted to rate the household chemical products that you have in your house, under your sink, in your kitchen. And we know that there are lots and lots of poisonings every year. We know there's lots and lots of exposures. We know lots and lots of health and environmental impacts of these chemicals. So we started off by rating these chemical companies, and there were, again, two or three that would disclose their full ingredient list. So we rated them fully. The guys who won't disclose their ingredients, we ding them for non-transparency. We say, we're just going to basically give you a low score until you disclose, because we cannot accurately assess the human health or ecotoxicity of your ingredients unless you disclose them.
And that only works if you have lots that are disclosing, right?
Well, we only had a couple at the time. This was about 2 years ago, and we immediately got a lot of phone calls from the industry and a lot of yelling at us, and how can you give us a bad score? We're a green cleaner. You know, their marketing is green. We said, we don't care what
green's
it says
in the name.
I don't care what it says on the front of your package. I want to know the chemical names of the ingredients, not some kind of made up kind of marketing names like we see that now.
Corinthian leather.
Right. Or we see increasingly surfactant from natural ingredients, or
oil.
Oils. Essential oils, yeah. Fragrance from essential oils. We said, we don't care. So we had a back and forth for about a year with the industry, and not just because of Good Guide, but because of a movement for transparency and nonprofits pressuring them and a lawsuit in New York. But the industry has now voluntarily disclosed the ingredients in most of their products.
Dara O'Rourke, the founder of Good Guide and also an associate professor at UC Berkeley in environmental science, policy, and management. Thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you very much.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise.
Additional music by Buzu Chavis, The Clash, Smokey Robinson, and The Miracles.
Sea Change Radio is made possible by support from Farm Fresh to You Organic Produce Delivery Service, connecting people to farms and leading the progressive change in America's food system. To learn more, go to farmfreshtoyou.com.
Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week
as we continue making connections for sustainability. For SeaChange Radio, I'm Alex Wise.